नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, entitled The History of the Life of Ajamil, text number 19. Sakrin mana krishna padaravindayo. Nivesitam tat guna ragiyairiha. Na te yamam pasa britas chatat batam. Svapne pipasyanti chirna niskrita. Sakrit. Once only, manaha, the mind, Krishna padara vindayo, unto the two lotus feet of Lord Krishna, nivesitam, completely surrendered, tat, of Krishna, gunaragi, which is somewhat attached to the qualities, name, fame, and paraphernalia. Yea, by whom? Iha, in this world. Na, not. Te, such persons. Yamam, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Pasabritaha, those who carry ropes to catch sinful persons. Cha, end. Tat, his. Patan, order carriers. Swapne api, even in dreams. Pasyanti, see. He, indeed, chirna niskritaha, who have performed the right type of atonement. Translation. Although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely unto his lotus feet and who have become attracted to his name, form, qualities, and pastimes are completely freed of all sinful reactions. For they have thus accepted the true method of atonement. Even in dreams, such surrendered souls do not see Yamaraj or his order carriers, who are equipped with robes to bind the sinful. Purport. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, Sarva Dharmam Pricheyamam Ekam Saranam Braja Ham Tom Sarva Papevyo Moksha Isyami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. This same principle is described here. Sakrin mana krishna padara vindayo. If by studying Bhagavad Gita one decides to surrender to Krishna, he is immediately freed from all sinful reactions. It is also significant that Sukadev Goswami, having several times repeated the words Vasudeva Parayana and Narayana Parayana, finally says, Krishna Padara Vindayo, thus he indicates that Krishna is the origin of both Narayan and Vasudev. Even though Narayan and Vasudev are not different from Krishna, simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mata Parataram Nanyat, there is no truth superior to me. There are many names and forms of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but Krishna is the supreme form. Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Therefore, Krishna recommends to neophyte devotees that one should surrender unto him only, mam ekam, because neophyte devotees cannot understand what the forms of Narayan, Vasudev, and Govinda are. Krishna directly says, mam ekam. Herein, this is also supported by the word Krishna Padara Vindayo, Narayan does not speak personally, but Krishna or Vasudev does, as in Bhagavad Gita, for example. Therefore, to follow the direction of Bhagavad Gita means to surrender unto Krishna, and to surrender in this way is the highest perfection of bhakti yoga. Parikshit Maharaj had inquired from Sukadev Goswami how one can be saved from falling into the various conditions of hellish life. In this verse, Sukadev Goswami answers that a soul who has surrendered to Krishna certainly cannot go to Narak, hellish existence. To say nothing of going there, even in his dreams, he does not see Yamaraj or his order carriers who are able to take one there. In other words, if one wants to save himself from falling into Narak, hellish life, he should fully surrender to Krishna. The word sakrit is significant because it indicates that if one sincerely surrenders to Krishna once, he is saved even if by chance he falls down by committing sinful activities. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, Apichit sudra charu bhajate mamananya bhak sadriva samanta vya samyak vyadasito hisaha. Even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he's to be considered saintly because he's properly situated. If one never for a moment forgets Krishna, he is safe even by chance he falls down by committing sinful acts. In the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita 2:40, the Lord also says, Neha vikramana sasti pratyavayana vijate swapamapi asya dharmasya tayate mahato bayat. In this endeavor there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Elsewhere in the Gita 6:40, the Lord says, Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. One who performs auspicious activity is never overcome by evil. The highest kalyan, auspicious activity, is to surrender to Krishna. That is the only path by which to save oneself from falling down into hellish life. Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati has confirmed this as follows. Kaivalyam narakayate tridasya pura kasha pushpayate durdantindriya kala sarpa patali prokata damstayate visvam puna sukayate vidi mahendra dadis chakutsa kityate yat karunya kataska vaibhava vatam tam goram evastumaha. The sinful actions of one who has surrendered unto Krishna are compared to a snake with its poison fangs removed. Prutkata damstrayate. Such a snake is no longer to be feared. Of course, one should not commit sinful activities on the strength of having surrendered to Krishna. However, even if one who has surrendered to Krishna happens to do something sinful because of his former habits, such sinful actions no longer have a destructive effect. Therefore, one should adhere to the lotus feet of Krishna very tightly and serve him under the direction of the spiritual master. Thus, in all conditions, one will be akuttobaya, free from fear. So, the first line of the verse is Sakrin Mana Krishna Padaravinda Yor, which is in the word for word, Sakrit is once only, once only. So here it is said, although not having fully realized Krishna, persons who have even once surrendered completely into his lotus feet and have become attracted to him and so on, they are completely freed of all sinful reactions. So that is very hope-giving. It is not speaking about those who are perfect. It is speaking about those who still have remnants of previous sinful activities and are still influenced and sometimes even distracted from the spiritual path. But it is said that even then, Yamaraj and his representatives, the Yamadutas, will not touch such a soul. Not even in dreams will such personalities, such devotees, see the Yamadutas. So in this way, the benefit from devotional service is extraordinary. Even a little bit of devotional service performed as the greatest benefit. Immediately, all sinful activities are being destroyed in all different stages, in the unmanifest stage, which is stored within the heart, and in the manifest stage, the reactions are diminished. But that is not all, because it is said that Krishna then personally accepts such a person under his care. Lord Chaitanya told the residents of Kulinagram, who were represented by their leader Satyaraj Khan. And Satyaraj Khan met the Lord in Jagannath Puri and asked the Lord, what is the goal of life? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the goal of life is Vaishnav Sevana and Nirantar Krishna Nama Sankirtan, or serving the Vaishnavas and incessantly chanting the holy name of the Lord. Then, since Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had said, serve the Vaishnavas, then Satyaraj Khan asked, well, who is a Vaishnava? Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, one who chants the holy name once is a Vaishnava. So, that is very generous, right? The holy name once. Anybody who chants once is a Vaishnava. So many people have chanted once, if you think about that. And already at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu begins to personally take charge of their life. Maya jakshena prakite suyare sacharacharam hetunanena kuntiya jagatviparivartite. The Lord is directing everything within the universe. He's the cause of everything. And yet at the same time, He is described as jagat avyakta murtina, or as the unmanifested form within the universe. In the Bhagavatam, the same point is described. Janmadiyasya yatun viyat itaratas charte swabhikya sarat tena brahmari yadikavye muyanti atsurya. It is said that Krishna is the origin of everything and He is fully cognizant of everything, yet He remains swarat, He remains independent. He doesn't get involved with everything. So Krishna is not involved with the living beings, anadi bahyamukha, who are since time immemorial in the material world. They simply are under the laws of Krishna, simply under the influence of the three modes of material nature. Prakriti kriyamanani gunakarmani sarvasa ahankra vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. The bewildered spirit soul thinks himself to be the doer of activities which are actually carried out by the three modes of material nature. But once we surrender to Krishna once and Krishna accepts us, it is different, because at that stage there is the reciprocation with Krishna. The question may be asked, when something happens to a devotee, is it karma or is it Krishna? Is it a diminished reaction for our previous sinful activities, or is it that Krishna is trying to teach us something and has arranged for these things? Srila Prabhupada explained that actually, even when we are dealing with the diminished reactions to karma, that Krishna is still involved with that, because Krishna, in the case of a devotee, is sanctioning the release of that karma. And sometimes He may interfere also. So Krishna is always involved in any situation, in whatever happens to a devotee. Therefore, He is the ultimate cause, nimitta matram, the ultimate cause of all that transpires. And particularly in the life of a devotee is directly dealing with Krishna and at every moment, and Krishna is dealing directly with him at every moment. That is the understanding. So far in this chapter, there was a discussion between Maharaj Pariksit and Sukadev Goswami. And Sukadev Goswami was, upon the question, what is the goal of life, suggesting prayaschitta, or penance, or atonement, becoming free from karmic reactions due to atonement. The acharyas are making a distinction amongst in prayaschitta, in this kind of penance. They say there is karma prayaschitta and jnana prayaschitta. Or karma prayaschitta are rituals that one may perform to counteract a sinful activity. If you have performed this and this sinful activity, then you must do a certain fast. For example, it said if a brahmana had killed a cow, then he had to sleep in a goshala, and he had to personally feed the cows, and he had to give cows in charity to people. And by this go-seva, he could purify himself from go-hatya, from killing a cow. But it says that this is karma priyasita. This is performing some activity to counteract, but that will never really purify the heart. Jnana prayaschitta goes a little deeper because philosophy is involved and one begins to understand on a deeper level what is wrong. Therefore, jnana prayaschitta is preferred, but it said it cannot in a lasting way free one from sinful desire. Therefore, Sukadev Goswami, when he said the goal of life is prayaschitta, he was testing Maharaj Pariksit, and Maharaj Pariksit didn't fall for it, because as the king, he had seen with his own eyes, it was his business to punish as a king. So he had punished so many wrongs in the kingdom, and he had seen that those who were engaging in criminal acts, although punished, were again engaging in the same criminal acts. Therefore, he realized that this system of atonement was not adequate. And then it is discussed that pure devotional service is the process. And not only pure devotional service, but particularly the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the process, the topmost process in devotional service. This chanting is very potent. And just as is said here, although not having fully realized Krishna, although being not completely pure, still the benefit is there. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's that famous discussion in the house of Hiranya and Govardhan Majumdar about the benefit of the holy name. And at that time, different brahmanas are offering various meanings to the chanting of Hare Krishna. And what is said, that one says, by chanting of Hare Krishna, you become free from all kinds of sinful reactions. Oh, everyone says, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. Yes, another one says, yes, yes, not only that, but by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you become free from birth and death, free from samsara. Oh, everyone, very impressed. But Haridas Thakur was not impressed, and Haridas Thakur pointed out, he said, actually, those kind of benefits are only the side effects of chanting the holy name. They're only the side effects. That's not the real benefit. They are even possible to be attained by chanting Nam Abbas. And then Haridas continues to explain how in the early morning when the sun is rising, before the sun disk rise above the horizon, the light of the sun is already shining in the sky. And then finally, the disk of the sun comes above the horizon. He said, in the same way, even when the holy name is not chanted purely, then the holy name is not yet fully manifest. But even then, the effect is already there. Nam Abbas. And the light is already in the sky. And suddenly all the fears of rogues and thieves and ghosts, which are the fears of the night, they disappear during the day. So immediately all the fear of material suffering, that is gone. That is already gone. It is the side effect of the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, because these are tatastha laksan, or these are temporary things. These are qualities or benefits of the holy name which deal with the tatastha realm, or with the temporary domain of material existence. All sinful reactions destroyed. Good, that is material. Birth and death finished, all right. That is again negation of the negative experience. But the positive experience is the essence of the chanting of the holy name. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kagunai Shravanadi Sudha Chitta Karya Udai. That this hearing and chanting awakens the dormant love for Krishna in the heart of the living being. That is the essence of chanting Hare Krishna. And all this, and becoming free from sinful reactions, is only a side benefit. In that way, we are appreciating the full benefit of devotional service. And therefore, we are not interested in anything else. Even Narayana Parayana or Vasudeva Parayana. Narayana is the expansion of Lord Krishna. And although Narayan can give the greatest benefit, the second offense in the matter of chanting the holy name is that the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are not equal to the name of Lord Vishnu. To think that these names are equal. Why is it so? Because not Lord Brahma nor Lord Shiva can give us liberation from birth and death. But Lord Vishnu can. So in that way, we can never compare Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, although they are most exalted and the topmost of all the demigods and most worshipable and to be respected throughout. Still, they cannot be compared to Lord Vishnu, who can liberate from birth and death. But then we see that Advaita Acharya, he was Lord Mahavishnu. And why was Advaita Acharya, who had appeared in the world? So the Lord had appeared in the world. And what was his activity? The Lord had appeared in the world and he was worshipping the Lord in the form of Shalagram Shila with Ganga Jal and Tulsi leaves to make the Lord appear in the world. So why is the Lord who has appeared in the world worshipping the Lord in the form of Shalagram to make the Lord appear in the world? It's sort of like one might wonder. But that was the case. That was the case. And he was very faithfully doing so. And it is described in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that the atheists were more and more afraid and therefore criticizing Srivas Thakur. Because this Srivas, he was having kirtan every night in his house. Although at that time there was Muslim rule and it was forbidden, really. And all right, it was condoned. But You know, what if the Muslims would come into the village? It would create a huge, huge mess, and they would destroy everything and plunder the whole village. So everyone was worried about this kirtan, and some thought, well, we'd better do something about it. Some went to complain to the government. And others said that we should all together cut the house of Srivas loose and throw it in the river. I mean, obviously it was a chattai house, you know, with bamboo poles and mats, so you could cut it loose and throw it in the river. So that was the plan. And at that point, Advaita Acharya said, if now the Lord does not appear, then I myself will take my four-armed form and cut the heads of these atheists. But that is the mission of the Lord. Paritranayu sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstarpanatya sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord appears in this world to annihilate the demons and to establish the principles of religion. And Advaita Acharya was certainly doing that mission. Now for a moment I'll leave the Chaitanya Bhagavat and we'll go to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And we'll go to Dwarka for a moment. And there in Dwarka it is early in the morning and Krishna didn't get up. I mean, normally Krishna would rise early in the morning. This is described in Krishna book. Krishna would then see auspicious things. Krishna would give cows in charity and other things in charity to the brahmanas. He would do so many. Then he would sit and he would meditate on himself, because you know you have to meditate on the Supreme Lord. So who else to meditate on but himself? So in that way, Krishna had his sadhana. But on this particular day, Krishna did not get up. So everyone was tiptoeing in the palace. Krishna is not well. Shh. And then at one point, Satyabhama spoke up and said, I'm sick and tired of this hypocrisy. Satyabhama, please, Krishna is not well. I mean, this everybody knows that Krishna is not sick at all. Satyabhama, please, everybody knows the very well why Krishna did not get up. Satyabhama, please. And then Satyabhama reveals what is the real thing, that Krishna is actually did not get up because he's in total separation. Why does Krishna have 16,108 queens? Because there are 16,108 gopis. Just to remind him of the gopis. That's all. It's the only reason. And all the queens know that at night, in his dreams, he speaks the name of the gopis. While he's resting next to them, next to his wives. So Krishna is always thinking of the gopis in Vrindavan, and in this way in separation. So in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita it is described that on this particular day Krishna was so overwhelmed by separation he was totally incapacitated. So everyone was wondering what to do. And then at one point Lord Brahma appears. And he offers a solution. He comes down on his swan carrier and he offers a solution that Vishwakarma can build a replica of Vrindavan, and then Balaram and Rohini, they are in both pastimes, in Dwarka and in Vrindavan, so they can go with Krishna and take him to Vrindavan, and then he gets into the Vrindavan mood and he forgets everything. So everyone said, great idea, and they did it. So Vishwakarma made a replica of Vrindavan, and he made statues of the residents that looked perfect, exactly like the originals. Mother Yasoda stood there, and she had some yogurt and bananas for Krishna in her hand. And Krishna was taken into that Vrindavan, and he was in ecstasy, and he was so happy, and he saw Yasoda, and she held out the yogurt and bananas, and he just snatched it from her hand, and she didn't move, but that happened more often, because sometimes she had ecstatic symptoms, and then she was stunned also. So that was not a problem. And then what happened is Krishna was just running in ecstasy, and Balaram right behind, and Rohini stood there also next to Yasoda, and Krishna ran into the forest, and everything was, he was getting ready for Vrindavan adventures, and then he saw the ocean. Ocean? This is not Vrindavan. And then Lord Brahma appeared from the sky with his swan carrier, and all the residents of Dwarka also came. And then Lord Brahma said, Paritranayu sadhanam vinasya saduskritam dharma samstarpanatya sambhavami yuge yuge. Reminding the Lord, you have now appeared in this world, and now it is time for you to perform this duty of annihilating the demons and establishing the principle of Dharma. Krishna, oh gosh, I gotta go to work. So basically, that's kind of, in a nutshell, Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Advaitacharya could do that, Paritranaya Sadhanam Vinasya Saduskritam. But he could not give that love of God, of Golok. He, after all, he was Mahavishnu. Mahavishnu cannot give. Although Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva cannot compare to Vishnu, but Vishnu cannot compare to Krishna, because only Krishna himself can give that love of God of Vrindavan. Therefore, Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya. We are worshipping only Krishna. Kechit Kevalaya Bhaktya Vasudev Parayana. Vasudev Krishna. Narayan we are not worshipping. We offer all respects to gopis. So Lord Narayan, my dear Lord Narayan, please accept our obeisances. My dear Supreme Personality of Godhead, please accept our obeisances. Have you seen Krishna? That's it. Even Vasudev Krishna, the Krishna from Mathura, the Krishna from Dwarka, is different from the Krishna in Vrindavan. In that way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was focusing on that Krishna from Vrindavan. Therefore, mana Krishna padara vindayo. Therefore, not Narayana parayana, Vasudeva parayana, but Krishna padara vindayo. Therefore, only Krishna. Krishna is our Istadev. Yes, Lord Narayan, yes, we worship. Yes, Lord Vasudev, yeah, from Dwarka, yes, we worship. But Krishna from Vrindavan is our Istadev. He is our worshipable deity. That is basically established. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He is the origin of all the manifestations of the Lord. Eti chamsa kalapumsa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. This Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, this verse is identified by Jiva Goswami as the Paribhasa Sutra. The Paribhasa Sutra means the one verse that sheds light to the entire book, the entire work. So this verse, Eti Chamsa Kalam Pumsam Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakalam Lokam Ridayanti Yuge Yuge, is the central verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, in a sense. It is the verse that gives a purport to every other verse, and that establishes that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, and that all other forms are his expansions. Dipachire vihita santramabhyupecha dipayate vivritahenu samana dharmiyas tadrigevi cha vishnu cha yorvibhati govindam adipurisham tamaham bhajami. Just as from one light so many other lights can be lit, but the original light is still the same. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Sadaishvarya Purna. Within him, all the opulences are manifested in full. Aishwaryasya samagrasya viryasya yasa sarasya jnana vairagya sangha sanam bhagami tingana. All wealth, all beauty, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation, all strength are all present in full in Krishna. And almost in full in Lord Ramachandra. Almost in full. And to a lesser extent in the various Vishnu manifestations, just that, like it is said, the various incarnations of Krishna, they are all carrying a special quality of Krishna. For example, Balaram and Mohini, they are particularly carrying the beauty of Krishna in their manifestation. They're extremely beautiful. Balaram and Mohini. Lord Prithu Maharaj, an expansion of Krishna, he and Parasharam, they are carrying the Bhupalana Shakti, or the Shakti to protect the earth. So these are examples how different incarnations are carrying a particular power of Krishna. But Krishna carries all in total, in completeness, and therefore is the ultimate, complete, supreme Lord. He is, and not only is he Sadaishvarya Purna, not only are all opulences with him, within him, but he is also Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is also the complete manifestation of all rasas in relation to his devotees. So in that way, in no other manifestation is one going to get the same complete exchange as with Krishna. And that is established in this purport. There's so much in the purport. That was here mentioned Narayana, Vasudev and Govinda. Simply by surrendering to Krishna, one fully surrenders to all his expansions, such as Narayan, Vasudev and Govinda. The Govinda that is mentioned here is not Govinda the cowherd boy from Vrindavan. It is Govinda the Vishnu expansion. You can see on the cover of the Bhagavatam, you see all these Vishnu planets, you see the drawing based on Prabhupada's drawing, and you can see that one of the Narayan expansions is also called Govinda. So when we put Tilak in Om Govindaya Namaha, we're speaking actually that Narayan, the name of that Narayan expansion. So like that, our focus is on Krishna. One more point here is Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschit Durgatim Tata Gacchati. That one who does good is never overcome by evil. So this is a big thing, because sometimes it seems like that. I mean, we have seen cases where devotees were murdered. I know a case of a devotee who was chanting japa and was murdered while chanting japa. In South Africa, that happened, and Maharaj knows. And so, what can we say? That everyone was stunned, because this is evil. I mean, this is like a devotee is never overcome by evil. But as we were, and we had a big gathering for the departure of that devotee, and we discussed it in great depth, and many senior Vaishnavas came for that occasion and discussed, and finally the conclusion was, it's not the body that is protected by Krishna sometimes, but it is the soul that is protected by Krishna. Therefore, this statement of the Gita certainly applies at all times. Nahi kalyana krit kaschit durgatim tata gacchati. A Vaishnava is never overcome by evil. It's not possible, even although it may appear like that. The soul is always protected, and the soul will always attain an auspicious destination. So in this way, we can see that one who is taking shelter of Krishna is immediately, even when a little service is performed, making so much advancement, receiving the protection of Krishna. And that protection of Krishna is very great. Such a devotee is, even if mistakes are made, is still not doomed, but rather saved from doom, and will soon attain the ultimate goal of life, because Krishna will continue to make further arrangements for purification. And therefore, once we've started this process, once we are on this path, then surely we will continue and continue. And the only thing that can temporarily delay our progress is the result of Vaishnava aparat. And that temporary can be for a long time. Just like Daksha had to suffer for a kalpa with the head of a goat. A kalpa is quite a long time. So in that way, Vaishnava aparat is the one thing that we must avoid. Then, and Nama aparat also. Then we can progress very nicely, automatically, on this path of pure devotional service. Okay. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? I think there's a microphone. Is there? No mic? Okay, then you... You don't need a microphone anyway.
Yeah, no. I am blessed. At the very beginning of your class, you mentioned two types of prasachitta conscious. It's got the again
prasachitta. Didn't give an example. Well, Gyan would let us say this. Let us take the same example, but add Gyan to it. So the Brahmana now, instead of just externally performing the ritual, what do? Once when you kill the cow, or some or other a part of that, you know, okay. Instead of just doing it ritualistically, he's philosophically very thoroughly understanding the implications of the whole situation. He realized that for killing the cows, he has to suffer, you know, for as many births as there are hairs on the body of the cow. He realizes that that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will withdraw his blessings. So many different aspects of knowledge add a whole deeper dimension to the whole thing. Therefore, rather than just going to a quick external activity for his purification, which is the karma payashita, he's deeply contemplating what kind of reactions he's going to get, and therefore he... will become more careful about such things. He begins to also appreciate more what suffering he has caused and so on, and therefore he will decide to definitely starts repenting within and so on. So through knowledge, one can actually, on a deeper internal level, be rectified. However, the three modes of material nature create so many circumstances. And then there is the cow, or the bull, let's say, there's the bull under your care, and then there is your mother, and she needs an operation, and she is on the verge of death, and the only thing that can save her is this operation. And, you know, and you sell the cow, and you're not sure about the destiny of that cow. You sold it here in India, right? And to some nice man, but you're not sure if that cow will not wind up in a slaughterhouse or not. And in this way, again implicated, in spite of all the good repentance, but again implicated, because extenuating circumstances. Because still relying on the material arrangements, not putting full faith in Krishna, therefore still karma priyasthita, jnana priyasthita, having not reached the pure transcendental platform of trusting in Krishna. Krishna will take care. I walk the pure path, the path that Krishna prescribed, and Krishna will take care of my mother, take care of me, take care of everything, don't have to worry. So I will never compromise the path of purity. That's the path of bhakti, that goes beyond this karma priyasita and jnana priyasita. I said that to be free from sin is secondary in bhakti, but isn't it very important also? I actually said that to be free from sin is the secondary result of bhakti. Yes. It is a secondary benefit of bhakti. Of course, we want to become free from sin, but even to be sinless, what's the point of being sinless and having no love for Krishna? Yes, yasti bhakti bhagavatira kinchana sarvir gunayas tatra samasati sura harava bhakta shokuto mahatguna mano ratena sati davato bahi. It is said one can develop all good qualities, become more and more purified from sin, and become situated in goodness, and attain a position high in the universe and so on. But if you are not becoming a devotee of Krishna, you are still driving in the manorat, in the chariot of the mind. And the chariot of the mind will take you again to degradation, again. So, if therefore it is said sometimes, yad brahmatam upariyada, sometimes we go upwards in the universe, other time again downwards in the universe, and this can go on life after life. So ultimately, without developing bhakti, it is these gains of becoming sinless are not a permanent benefit. Yeah, the purification of getting free from sinful reactions is not complete without developing attachment to serving Krishna and his devotees. Therefore, and by serving Krishna and his devotees, one automatically becomes sinless, because it is said a devotee will never engage in a sinful activity. The advanced devotee is not very strict about rules and regulation, but still he will never act in a sinful way, because he will not act in a way that's not pleasing to Krishna. So automatically, he becomes sinless. So, of course, we say four regulative principles. That means no sinful activities. And then 16 rounds, glorifying Krishna. So the two go hand in hand. But if it was only the four regulative principles, then our movement would not go very far. Without the glorification, without the Sankirtan, wouldn't go very far. But if there were no regulative principles, it would also be difficult to get the result of chanting Hare Krishna. But even if someone is totally engrossed in all kinds of illicit activities, if that person chants Hare Krishna, we are very happy because we know this person will be purified, for sure. Even if someone is addicted to all the sinful activities and chants Hare Krishna, we know that that person is getting Agyata Sukriti, unknown spiritual benefit, and will perform devotion service again. Our preaching is based on that. Sri Vasprabhu. One, Satyaraj Khan. Is it ordinary chanting? When Satyaraj Khan said, chant a holy name once, is that ordinary chanting, or is it chanting pseudonym, the pure name of the Lord? There is, in this narration of Ajamil, there are some footnotes which are based on the commentaries of the Acharyas. And in those footnotes, it is explained that Ajamil was chanting offenselessly. And it is explained there how he chanted offenselessly. It said it counted as offenselessly, although he was engaging in all kinds of sinful activities, because he was not trying to use the holy name for any other purpose. He was just innocently chanting it. And therefore, it was offenselessly, although he had so many offenses in his nature. So we can see that even Ajamil, who was full of offenses, was chanting it and got benefits. But if one chants the holy name and one commits sinful activities and then one just chants the holy name thinking this holy name will purify me, then it will not work. Then the Lord will withdraw himself from the holy name and the name becomes just like a shell, an empty shell. And one can chant and chant and chant. Bhavanu Janmanakari Adi Shavana Kirtana Tutana Paya Krishna Prema Dhanan. One can chant for many, many births, and if one commits these offenses, and still not get the result of chanting the holy name. So that element is also. Yes. Should we stop now? Because I'm keeping everyone very long. So it's past 9 o'clock. So I thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.